And finally tonight, as the number of New Yorkers stopped and frisked by police approach 750,000 a year, opposition to the program has grown. And recently, the courts have joined the chorus by granting class action status to a federal lawsuit challenging stop and frisk, and two court rulings throwing out convictions in gun possession cases because the court said the cops didn't have reasonable suspicion to conduct the searches. But commentator Playthal Benjamin believes the drive to do away with stop and frisk may be ignoring a question that needs to be asked.
As I stood beneath the imposing statue of Duke Ellington at the intersection of 110th Street and 5th Avenue a few weeks ago, watching the swelling crowd begin their silent march down 5th Avenue to 79th Street, protesting the stop and frisk policy of the NYPD, I wondered if we would really be better off without it. Listening to snatches of anti-police diatribes uttered by well-meaning people, I thought of the nihilistic gun-wielding criminals who are turning our communities into free fire zones, and reflected on Frederick Douglass's opening remarks from his 1875 speech on the Washington Mall, where he dedicated the Freedman Memorial to Abraham Lincoln. I'm here today only because I will not have it said that the colored man is a man that can show no gratitude, Douglass said as he damned the object of veneration he had been called to celebrate with faint praise. He went on to say, "Truth is beautiful and proper at all times and in all places." My sentiments exactly. I had to be at the march because I couldn't let others demand justice for black men and I not stand with them. And when thinking about what I should say regarding the great silent march to end the mayor's stop and frisk policy, like Douglass, I decided to tell the truth as I see it, even if it goes over like a lead balloon with the crowd. The truth is that I have misgivings about ending the program, because it is an incontestable fact that the greatest danger to black men comes from gun-wielding black male criminals, not white policemen, or even the armed white racist militia types who like to parade around dressed in combat camouflage fatigues, wielding guns, and selling wolf tickets. While the critics contend that black and Hispanic communities are selected based on racist criteria, Mayor Bloomberg insists that communities are chosen for stop and frisk programs based on the incidence of gun violence and robberies committed at gunpoint, and that the purpose of the program is to protect the law-abiding citizens in those communities against murderous criminals. The mayor's remarks were greeted with enthusiastic applause by congregations of black churches located in crime-ridden communities where the stop and frisk program is in full effect, when he said the program should be mended, not ended. The numbers support the mayor's argument about how targeted communities are selected. For instance, stop and frisk exists in mostly black Brownsville and not in mostly white Bay Ridge because gun violence in Brownsville is 18 times higher than in Bay Ridge. Just yesterday, there was a march in Brooklyn protesting the shooting of a 3-year-old boy who was caught in a crossfire between two gun-wielding maniacs. However, the purpose of mass demonstrations is to present demands to authorities who have the power to grant redress or appeal to the conscience of one's oppressor. Which begs the question, who was yesterday's demonstration addressed to? The conscience of gun-wielding criminals? If so, well, good luck with that. To me, it is the definition of a fool's errand. I am convinced that the criminals watch these demonstrations on television and are only moved by the calls for ending stop and frisk while polishing their guns singing, "Happy Days Are Here Again." I understand that they're real questions regarding the abuse of authority by police that must be addressed. Yet it is a far less evil than having murderous maniacs running amok in my neighborhood. Alas, I agree with the mayor. Mend it, don't end it. I will give my views on how to mend it next week. From New York City, this is Playthal Benjamin with a commentary on the Times.